I do. We're going to start with a praise report for Tommy Thompson. Yay. He's out of the ICU and gets to come home in a day or two.
Praise God.
Brenna Giblet is having her gallbladder removed this morning. And we want to pray for Delisha Smith, who's having a scope procedure that will provide detailed images of her heart. And she's super nervous about it.
All right. And we know there's probably lots of other things. You may have things on your mind. You may be listening to us. You may have things on your mind. They're not written down. You may not call them out by name. You pray, too. While I'm praying, you pray, too. Amen. Now, Father, we come before you now, gracious Heavenly Father. We approach your throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Sovereign, our Redeemer, Lord, I call you that because the Word calls you that, and the Word calls you that because you did that for us. You have purchased us back from the curse, and nothing related to the curse has the right to operate in our lives. Not sickness, not disease, not sin, of course, not fear. And so, Father, we thank you, and we praise you, Lord, that prayer has been answered on behalf of Tommy Thompson out of ICU, getting to come home in a day or two. Father, we do agree with that. And we thank you for it. We give you the praise. We pray for continued and complete recovery in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Brenna Giblet. And Lord God, we're asking that the procedure go perfectly as you had planned. And we ask you for a supernaturally quick recovery. All fear bound in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for a good report, Lord God. Delisha Smith, Lord God, having this procedure that provides detailed images of her heart, Father. And Lord, she admits before you that she's nervous. She didn't say, I'm afraid, I'm scared, just nervous, Lord, as we all would be. But Father, we release your peace to Delisha. And we pray that your peace that passes all understanding will guard her heart and her mind in Christ Jesus. We pray, God, that these doctors would, if there's something they need to find, let them find something that explains something. But, Lord, we trust you for healing no matter what. But, Father, if there's nothing to be found and the results come back and say, we don't see anything, we take that as a praise report, Lord God. We take that as evidence that you have already healed the issue. And we thank you for it now. Thank you for it. Father, I pray for our governor's teenage daughter. Father, he himself asked for prayer yesterday for his daughter. Father, typical teenagers, Lord God, just because she happens to be the governor's daughter does not make her immune from the problems that affect normal teenagers. And Father, with the fact that there are so many that attack her family because of the position they're in, we want to just lift her before you and that family before you and surround them with a hedge of protection. We plead the blood over them. We thank you for their faith. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Heart to Heart Pregnancy Center is having a baby bottle boomerang challenge. All you have to do is contact them, ask them for a baby bottle. They will throw you a baby bottle, and then you fill it with change, dollar bills, checks, donations, whatever, and then you throw it back. You may want to hand it back, though, too. This one's kind of heavy. I don't want to hurt nobody, so I think I'll just hand it back to them. If you would like to do that, all you have to do is contact Heart to Heart Pregnancy Clinic at 580-243-2229 or go to 500 South Lusk right here in Elk City, Monday through Thursday, noon to 6. And if you would like to just to send a donation, you can send that to P.O. Box 2122, Elk City, Oklahoma, 73648. And let us not forget, Joshua's Crossing Ministry is right here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. We are so blessed by this little war room. Mm-hmm.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply, Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest, greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
We hope.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for today is, Who Am I?
Yeah. Who am I? Who am I that God would use me? Not, who am I? You know? Yeah. But who am I that God would use? Who am I that God could send me, appoint me? I'm just me. I mean, you do not know me, you know. That was one of the issues they had with Jesus in his hometown, wasn't it? They thought they knew who he was. Good thing he knew who he really was. Because if he thought the same thing as they thought, we'd still be lost, you know. They'd be like, well, I'm just a nobody. I'm just, oh, you know, there's my daddy Joseph. There's my mama. There's my brothers and sisters. I'm nobody. You know? He knew who he was. And we need to know who we are in him. Now, I can tell you who I was apart from him. You don't want to meet that dude, you know. You don't want to meet pre-Jesus Monica. She'll throat punch you.
Yeah.
Drop kick you too, maybe off the top rope. You never know. You never know. But, you know, it's not what's in our past that matters. That's not what matters. And it's not what family I'm born into. Remember, we were in the book of Judges, and if you didn't get to join us for the first half, we're in the book of Judges in the 6th chapter, where the Israelites had done evil in the sight of God, and because of that, God had allowed their enemies to overrun them. Because God warned them, if you don't do what I tell you, and you follow these false gods, and you let they're going to overwhelm you. It ain't going to be good. But if you'll just do what I say, life's going to be good. Man, what a concept! Imagine that. The one who creates you in the womb of your mother actually knows the best way for you to live. Wow, what a concept. Read the owner's manual. Yeah. Don't just read it, though. I know people that read it and look for loopholes. That ain't going to help you. You read it for the purpose of, Monica mentioned this before we came on, a teachable heart. I want to be taught, and I don't want to just be taught so that I can be more educated. I want to be taught so I can do. It's not what I know that changes my life. It's what I know and do that changes my life. Amen. So the Israelites were being overwhelmed by the Midianites to the point they're literally just being impoverished. They're about starving. They're running up to the hills to get away from them. Then their enemies all come in and camp out all over the land during the harvest time. And when they leave, it just looks like there ain't nothing left for the Israelites hardly. They're picking up a few little scraps. And they are severely oppressed. And the Lord tells them why. He said, you didn't listen to me. And then the angel of the Lord comes down, verse 11, and said under the oak tree of Ophrah, belonged to Joash the Abizarite. Now, Joash is Gideon's father. We're going to find that out here in a little bit. But and his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. In other words, he's hiding. Big brave soldier that he is. You know, he's hiding. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." See, God calls things that are not as though they were, so that what is will become what should be. Don't go around talking about your problems. Because if you do, you're just going to have more problems. I'm not saying you bury your head. I'm not saying you deny the existence of challenges in your life. I don't think if you're feeling all sick and overwhelmed, you have to go around always just saying, "I am well." So, you know, I admit that my health is being challenged. I admit that. But I know that Jesus is my healer, and his grace is more than enough. Don't just go around, somebody say, "How are you today?" Don't give them a medical report. You can, but I don't think you have to deny that you got issues going on. But always, if you're going to mention the problems, mention the promise. If you're going to talk about the situation, talk about the Savior. Come on, get your eyes off of it and on him. And let your words dictate the course of your life. Because words have power. If they didn't, Jesus would not have said that we will give an account for every idle word. You know what idle means? It means it's unemployed. Words were created not for just to talk. Words were created to be capsules to carry the power of God. Whose image are you created in? The image of God. How did God create the world? By speaking what he believed and seeing. And as he spoke it and released it. So he created us in his own image. A parrot can quote the word of God if he's taught to. But when a parrot says what the word of God says, there's no power in it because the parrot is not created in the image of God. I'm going to say something that maybe somebody might have to chew on, but you're not God and you're never going to be God. I'm going to preface this. But you are created in the image of God, and he is a creator, so that makes you a little creator. You're not the creator, you're a creator because you're created in the image of the creator. And sometimes we go around creating chaos. He didn't do that. Sometimes we go around creating issues and creating problems. Here in our historical account, it's not a story. This is a historical account. It happened in history. And archaeology proves it. That's why God's Bible gives so many details about this person's name, this town, this situation. So that here we are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 years later. They go, "Oh, man, archaeology proves it. You know, we went to this spot and here it is." Yeah, duh. I mean, I don't even need them. I don't need them to find anything to prove the Bible's true. I already know it's true because the Holy Spirit bears witness. But the fact of the matter is God put such detail in his word that even agnostics and atheists are confronted with the fact that this Bible predicts in the future events that will happen, and it is proven over and over. It's the only religious book in the history of mankind that is able to accurately foretell what will happen in future events, because it is the only one that is the word of God. The Quran is not the word of God. The pamphlets from the Watchtower Society are not the word of God. This is the word of God. Come on down, back down, off the soapbox. We're in Judges chapter 6, and the angel of the Lord comes down. God doesn't like his people to be oppressed and run over by the devil. You say, why don't he stop it then? Because he put the power in our hands to do it. Whatever the devil's doing in our country right now, he's doing it because we, as a nation as a whole, have allowed it. And we did. I mean, for years, as a pastor, for years, I never from the pulpit spoke out against abortion. I didn't even think about it, to be honest with you. I didn't know people that were having them or anything like that. I never spoke out. I never spoke out against any of these political hot topics or anything as a pastor for you. I just focused on we're just going to be in the Word of God, you know. And that's good, and we do need to certainly be in the Word of God. But in all honesty, we need to be in the Word of God, and it needs to be relative to what's going on in the world around us. So we need to realize that it's not politicians that have ruined this nation. What's causing the enemy to ravage in this nation and around the world is the same thing that was going on right here in the book of Judges in the 6th chapter. It says that the people did evil in the sight of God, and because of that, the enemy came in and ravaged them. That's as simple as that. As simple as that. You say, well, there ain't no hope for us then. No, there's. Listen, God said, if my people who call by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. He didn't say if you can get everybody to do it. He said, if my people will. See, it's not the, I'm going to be careful how I say it. It's not the sinners, the people who don't know Jesus, the people who don't know God, who really, the whole issue, we want to kind of tend to blame things on, you know, pass the buck. Like, you know, if those people up there in Washington, blah, 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 they would see it right and do this. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but he said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it's a promise from God. You say, well, I can't control about all the other people. No, but you can control you if you will humble yourself. So he was looking for somebody. God was looking for somebody. And he comes down, he finds this mighty warrior named Gideon, who happens to be hiding in a wine press threshing wheat at the moment. And the Lord says to him, you know, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And his answer is, well, if God is with me, then why's my life so bad, basically? And he goes, where's all the good stuff that my dad and my granddad and all my forefathers told me about how God delivered him out of Egypt and God was with them and all this stuff? And now I'm looking around. I don't see God nowhere. All I see is we plant crops and they eat them. Well, God warned them about that. He told them specifically, you will plant crops and the enemy will eat it if you don't listen to what I say. It's like, duh, you know. So when he complained, if the Lord's with me, then how come this is so bad? And the Lord turned to him, verse 14, Judges 6:14. The Lord said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And he replied, but Lord, Gideon asked, who am I to save Israel? My clan is the weakest in the weakest tribe, and I'm the least of my family. I'm the least of the least of the least. You might be like Monica, so I live in Deal City. What could I do? You know? Like you could do all things through Christ. And the Lord answered him in verse 16, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. You'll strike them all down. I'll be with you, and you'll strike them all down. And Gideon replied, well, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. I don't think we should do that. With the Lord being New Testament believers, we have a sign. It's called the Holy Spirit. Hello. I don't believe we should ask God for signs, but he asked, and God's going to accommodate him. He said, please don't go away until I come back and bring you my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I'll wait till you return. And Gideon went and prepared a young goat from an ephah flour. He made bread without yeast, unleavened bread, put the meat in a basket, its broth in a pot, and brought him out, offered him under the oak. And the angel of God said, or the Spirit of God said, said to him, take the meat and unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. And with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire flared up from the rock. Don't tell me God can't do the impossible. Consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord, I'm going to tell you who I believe that is. It's Jesus. In a pre-Bethlehem manifestation. I'm going to show you why in a minute. The angel of the Lord, and then the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, oh, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, shalom, that's the word translated peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die. Why would he be afraid he was going to die? Because he saw God. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord, that's Jehovah there, and called it Jehovah Shalom. That's the word. The Lord is peace. And to this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And that's, okay, so he had his account. God answered. He said, I need a sign. He said, all right, I'll show you a sign. I'll make fire come up out of a rock, consume your sacrifice. All right, cool. That same night, he said to him, now it's time for the test. How many of you know if you're going to get to drive, you got to pass the test? That same night, the Lord said to him, take a second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Did you miss that? Do you know that God knows how old your cows are? He knows everything about you. about everybody, about everything. He knows it all. So when he asks you to do something, does he not know everything? Yeah, he knows it all. Why you got to be afraid of? He tells you to go do this. Obviously, he's already worked it all out. Why are you worrying over? Just do what he tells you. Dwight, come on, just do what he tells you. He said, take your bull, the seven-year-old one, tear down your father's altar. Oh, man, this is interesting. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Whose demon-worshipping altar was that he was told to tear down? His daddy's. You got to go against your own daddy to answer the call of God sometime. So you can't just be like, well, I mean, I'll do whatever you say, God. God goes, all right, tear down your father's false altars. What else you got? No, he said, you start right here. Faithfulness begins at home. Anyway, he said, tear down your father's altar to Baal. In other words, his own dad was part of the problem. Gideon's like, well, where's God? Where's God? It's like, ask your daddy where God is. Your daddy knows. Your daddy knows he ain't supposed to be worshiping Baal. If he don't know, your granddaddy does. Because they know. But they were. They were worshiping Baal. People still worshiping Baal. They don't know it, but they are. And then the Lord, and he said this in verse 26, then build a proper kind of an altar. Build the altar of the Lord, in other words, to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. Can you imagine going into some religious place and maybe they got wooden statues or something and they worship them and you go in there and cut it up in little pieces and use it for firewood to make an offering to God in the right way? That's exactly what he did. He goes, you've got to defy Baal and you've got to defy Asherah. In other words, you got to defy and turn against anything that's not God in order to follow God. So Gideon he did that. Using the wood, he cut down, and he said the Lord told him to offer burnt offering. So he took 10 of his servants, and he did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family, he's doing what he's told to do, but he's still afraid. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, when did he do it? He did it at night rather than in the daytime. Okay, all right. Well, at least he's obedient. Let's give him credit. So in the morning when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished with a Asherah pole beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on a newly built altar. And they asked each other, who did this? And when they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. One of those servants had a big mouth, didn't he? The men of the town demanded of Joash, bring your son out. He must die because he's broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. See, Gideon knew what he was getting into, and God knew what he was calling Gideon to get into, but he said, don't be worried. I'm with you. His dad replied to the hostile crowd, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you going to try to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal is really a god, then he can defend himself. Come on. If Baal is really a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So that day they called Gideon Jerub-Baal, which in other words, they gave him a new name, which means let Baal contend with him. Or I will put it this way, he who fights Baal. Cool. You want to be known as a devil-whipping Christian? You're going to have to do something for God. Come on. So let Baal contend with him. Now, verse 33, all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped at the valley of Jezreel. Verse 34, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. See, I told you, if you're appointed, you're going to be anointed. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew a trumpet and summoned all the Abizarites to follow him. That means all the people of his clan and tribe. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, which is his extended family, calling them to arms, and also to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they went up. These are some of the tribes of Israel. And Gideon said to God, if you'll save by my hand as you have promised, I'll place a wool fleece on the threshing floor, and if there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, I'll know that you have saved us. Now, Gideon, he liked signs, didn't he? He wanted confirmation. And then he turns around and asks for the same confirmation, only in reverse, and God's gracious enough to give it to him. I'm skipping ahead because I want to finish. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that's Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod, and the camp of Midian was north of them in the valley of the hill. And the Lord said to Gideon, watch this, he said, you have too many men to deliver for me to deliver Midian into their hands. Why? Because you'll take credit for it. God doesn't ask you to do what you can do by yourself. He asks you to do what only you could do with him. So if you feel like God's asking you to do something and you don't feel adequate and you know you couldn't possibly do it without God's help, you're right on track. If you feel like God's asked you to do something and you're like, I got this, you might better wait, because that might not have been God. Maybe he said for you to do something, but you made it so small that you could handle it. And what he told you was way big. But because you knew you couldn't do it, you shrunk down what he told you to do to where you could handle it. And what God is saying is, I don't want you to handle it. I just want you to be made available so I can handle it through you. How about that? So Gideon starts off, he calls all his men, and God goes, you got too many men. And he tells him this. He said, announce, verse 3, to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So he's got this big army. How many people left? 22,000 men left, and only 10,000 remain. Two-thirds of the people that came out to say, we're with you, man, two-thirds of them left. He had 33,000 people in his army. Now he's only got 10,000. What's God say? But the Lord said to Gideon, there's still too many. Verse 4, take them down to the water, and I'll sift them there for you. If I say this one goes, then he goes. And if I say this one shall not go, he shall not go. In other words, you better listen to me. So Gideon took the men down to the water, and the Lord told him, separate those who lap water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down and drink. And 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth, and all the rest got down on their knees to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, with these 300 men that lapped, I will save you. Give the Midianites into your hands with these 300 men. He had 33,000. Now he's got 300. You talk about God saying, you're not going to share my glory. If I'm going to do something with you and through you, everybody's going to be able to say, well, that sure wasn't them. That was God working in them. Ain't right, Monica? That's right. If it said, well, God wants the glory. He got to use somebody. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use you. But he will not use you to do what you could do without him, because he won't get the glory. He won't get the glory, and he wants the glory. So the Lord said to Gideon, these 300 men, I'm going to save the whole nation. So let's see how he does it. We got a minute or two. So Gideon, in verse 8, sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept 300. They took provisions and trumpets. Trumpets would be shofars, ram's horn trumpets. Now the camp of Midian lay down below him in the valley, and during the night the Lord said to Gideon, watch this. He said, get up and go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. Verse 10, if you're afraid to attack. Now, does God know you, or does God know you? He knows. He says, if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Pura, and listen to what they're saying. Afterward, you'll be encouraged. In other words, I know what you need. Okay, if you're scared, then go. I'll give you something to overcome that. So they went down. He and Pura, the servant, went down to the outposts of the Midianite camp. Verse 12, the Midianites, Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. That's a multitude of people. Gideon's got how many? 300. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he said. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling out of the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. That's what the dude dreamed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword. I want you to watch these words. The sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites the whole camp into his hands. Who said that? One of the Midianites. Be careful what you say. Who caused that man to have that dream, you suppose? I suppose it'd be God. Who caused that other man to interpret it in that way? I suppose that'd be God. He's working every detail. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. That, again, speaking it, declaring it. Dividing 300 men into three companies, placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. That's a weird battle plan. Put a flaming torch inside of a clay pot. Can't see the torch. When it's inside the clay pot, it'll still burn. but you couldn't see it. So they were disguising their torches by having them inside of a clay pot. And they went and got in position. Watch me, verse 17, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly what I do. And when I and all who are with me blow our shofars, our trumpets, then all around the camp blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they changed guard, and they blew their trumpets, and then they broke their jars. So it was a sudden thing here, right? All of a sudden, these people down there in their camp sleeping in the middle of the darkest part of the night, all of a sudden they hear these shouts, huge, everybody shout top of their lungs, you know, for the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And then they break those pots, and all of a sudden, all these lights come up. And the Midianites are going, oh, my gosh, we're surrounded. Fear tactic. In other words, shock and awe. So Gideon and the 100 men, they broke them. They blew their trumpets. The three companies blew their trumpets and smashed jars and grasping the torches in their hands and holding them in their right hands, the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, a sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon. And while each man held his position around the camp, they, in other words, they didn't go in there and fight. They just stood there holding their flaming torch and shouting. They shouted one time, a sword for the Lord and sword for Gideon, and they held their torch. That's all they did. Watch what happened. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands. If those 300 dudes had went down there and tried to fight, they probably got wiped out. But they did what they were supposed to do. While each man held his position in all the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying as they fled. Crying, whining, back baby, scared. And then when the 300 trumpets sounded, watch this, verse 22, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp, the Midianite camp, to turn on each other with their swords. I'm going to stop there. It kind of goes on, talks about them gathering up the spoil and finishing wiping them out. But here's the deal. When God said, I'm going to deliver Midian into your hand, that's exactly what he meant. I'm going to do it. You don't have to do it. I just need you to cooperate. I need you to be the one who takes 300 guys who are willing to be there, who are not afraid. Remember, fear eliminated the first bunch. Who understand who they are. And they don't get down on their knees and drink out of the water like an animal. They pick it up with their hand. All right? I want those guys. And with you and those guys, I'm going to deliver the whole nation of Midian into your hands. I'm going to do it, God says. Because, and I'm going to go back to Jeremiah, because I formed you in the womb of your mother, and I knew you, and I purposed you, and called you, and appointed you, and where I've appointed you, I've anointed. So I know I took a little extra time today, but we'll cut hearing that out of it, and you know, and whatever. But listen, if you're listening to me today, and you say, you know, I have a real problem with doubting myself and with insecurity, welcome to the human race. But if you're saved, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you really do need to grab a hold of this fact. If you will simply be obedient to do what the Lord puts in your heart to do and tells you to do, that's all he requires of you. Nothing more, nothing less. He will take care of every other detail. He'll take care of all the details. He'll bring the victory. He just needs you to be obedient. But you must be surrendered to Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So there's no way of getting around that. But if you're a Christian, you're born again, you can do all things through Christ. If you're not born again Christian, you can receive Christ, then you can do all things through Christ. Amen. Do not say of yourself, I am only a child. Don't belittle yourself. It's not becoming a child of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our faithful listener, Miss Mandy, who joined us today in the studio. We appreciate you. We love you so much, Miss Mandy. And from Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family.
If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.